God take the glory in everything. Let all men be alive. I need my phone. There are some things God showed to me before this meeting while we were praying for this meeting. I wrote them down. This is so inclusive.
Adonai. Adonai. Adonai, you reign on high, and I will rise. Victor Thompson will rise, not on my own accord. Hey, you reign on, and we will rise. We will rise in your name, Adonai. You reign on high.
The first one is, God says, I am delivering a key to someone. I don't know what that key is. I didn't get an insight to it. But he's saying, I am delivering a key to someone. I hope maybe by the end of tonight, maybe he will unveil it. I don't know what key you're expecting, but God says to tell someone, I am delivering a key tonight. Then the second one is, you are here, and you've been telling God to show himself. There's something you're believing God for, and you've been telling God to show himself. And it says to tell you that the fact that you're saying it now for me to show myself would not make me do it. It says to tell you that I've been doing it all along. I've been doing it all along. Pastor Nosa is here. So the next round we're going to now, everyone is on stage and will fire for in your name. That's the foundation. That's the foundation. Adonai, you reign on high. We will rise in your name. Adonai, you reign on high. Hey, and we will rise in your name. Adonai, you have no right. No the name.
of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. Hey! I am super excited. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Can stand against. Hey, hey! No name compares to Jesus. There is a name above, above every other thing. What a powerful name it is. No name compares to you. Nothing can stand against. I feel like running in the spirit for a few seconds. Ashaka Balataya.
Then Jesus blood. Let us press in beyond the aesthetics, beyond the music, beyond the ministers, because nobody here can give you anything. Nobody standing here can do anything for you. So you are going to cut through all the distractions in your mind and focus on the one who has all the answers, on the one who loves you, on the one who gave himself for you. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with song of deliverance from my enemy. an understanding of identity. A lot of us are suffering because we think the things that we're expecting will give us the joy and satisfaction that we need inside. Never. When those things come, you'll be happy for a while, and then you will need something else, and you tie your identity to that thing. You tie your sense of self-worth to that thing. Some of us are still haunted by words that people said about us that affected and skewed our understanding of self. But there is nothing that can replace what you get from accepting the gospel. No relationship, no promotion, no amount of hype, no human presented opportunity will replace the joy you get from having received the gospel. You'll be like that first son that had everything but did not know, because he was looking for his father to celebrate him, so he was walking in the farm, not knowing that all things were already his. You are waiting for validation from men. It will never come. And if it comes, it will only be temporary. It will be based on circumstance. They will only clap for you when you do what they like. And when you do what they don't like, they go Kanye on you. Oh, we love you. It's called love with a hook. As long as you are doing what we like, we love you. But when you turn away, you're finished. You are living that kind of life. You have not caught the joy of the gospel.
I'm no longer.
I know who I am. Tell yourself, I know who I am.
I know who I am.
You know, I want to start like this so that you will worship as kings, as sons.
I am no longer.
Not as people begging. You're not begging for anything. All things are already yours.
I know who I am.
There are no beggars in this place. All I see are sons and daughters.
I am no longer a slave to
royal priesthood.
I'm no longer.
can never be. I can never be. Can you say that to yourself? I can never be.
I'm not the one alone. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that those who will come to God must believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's a law of awareness and consciousness in the realm of the spirit. It's not enough for you, for God to be in the place. You must know that God is in the place. Jacob was awakened from his slumber to say God was in this place, and I knew it not. I want to give you a few minutes just to be aware that you are not alone. The Bible says that we are not come to a mount that might be touched. We are come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. We are come to an innumerable company of angels. If you have a prayer language, I want you to tear yourself up right now. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. You didn't come to spectate. You didn't come to see what is going to happen. You came to receive from the Lord. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost if you have a prayer language right now. Pray in the Holy Ghost if you have a prayer language right now. This is not a show. This is a worship meeting. I said this is not a show. This is a worship meeting. This says wherever two or three are gathered, there I am.
Worship and in judgment. As your believers willfully bow their knees, let demons forcefully bow their knees. I say it again, as believers willfully bow their knees, let demons, let unfavorable circumstances, let every situation inconsistent with that name and the honor of that name, the fame of that name, let all those things forcefully bow their knees. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Now this is the worship flow. I'm not just here to interrupt. This is important. And I'm going to talk for a few minutes and I'll be out of here. Hallelujah. How you all doing, by the way? What is worship? What is worship? Don't assume you know what worship is. I have come to realize that in Bible study, you remain a student and you don't assume. You don't assume you know. Go ahead and sit if you can. What is worship? Listen, worship is not singing, even though worship can be expressed through singing. It's important to understand this. I take that again. Worship is not singing, even though worship can be expressed through singing. What then is worship? I don't want to bore you with this, but there is a simple law of hermeneutics, the science of Bible study, called the law of the first mention, and this is how it operates. The first time you see a word in the Bible, it gives you insight into the true meaning of the word and gives you guidance on how the word should be used throughout the Bible. It's the law of the first mention. And it will interest you to know that the first time worship was mentioned in the Bible, it wasn't referring to music at all. The first time worship appeared in the Bible was in Genesis 22 verse 5. Abraham was on his way to sacrifice his son upon the instruction or in accordance to the instruction of the Lord. And he said, stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go yonder to worship. And so by worship, Abraham was referring to sacrifice. And I know now you're thinking, oh, I get it. Worship is sacrifice. And that too is wrong. That too is wrong. So what is worship? I define it this way. Worship is any activity by which we demonstrate our consecration. I'd say it again. Worship is any activity by which we demonstrate our consecration. You can demonstrate your consecration in singing, but singing is not the only way to demonstrate consecration. And you can sing and not be worshiping. Come on, do you understand what I'm saying? Singing can be a demonstration of consecration, but it is not always a demonstration of consecration. Sometimes we sing because the music is nice. Sometimes we sing because others are singing. But listen, when you sing as a demonstration of consecration, then that's worship. Sometimes worship is giving. Because, listen, that's why what Abraham did was worship. Because the Lord said, give me the son, and he gave the son. So now that's worship. A demonstration of consecration. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's worship. A demonstration of consecration. For many of us, you need to realize this third one. Worship is obedience. Worship is obedience. So listen, in our singing, we can demonstrate obedience. In our giving, we can demonstrate obedience. In evangelizing, we can demonstrate obedience. By living a life that is consistent with the word of God. That's true worship. And so what is the protocol of worship? Number one is salvation. Listen, God has ordained that every lip and every heart that will lift up a sound before him will be a heart that he has consecrated, a heart that he has transformed from stone to a heart of flesh. That's the will of God. And that's not to say that some people, in their ignorance, can try to worship God with their current knowledge, but you have to understand how God responds to that. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10 of a man named Cornelius. Cornelius was a devout man. He prayed regularly, but he was not born again. And then one day an angel showed up in his room and said, send for a man named Peter. He will give you words by which you will be saved. And you see, a lot of church people don't understand this. You can be religious and not saved. You can be prayerful and not saved. You can come for worship meetings and not be saved. And God, listen,
The fact that an angel appeared means that God recognized what he was doing or saw the sincerity of his heart. But God's response to you in a meeting like this, if you are joining the worship and the prayer and you are not saved, will be to send a word of salvation to you. And that's the protocol of salvation. Listen, you see, in John chapter 4, Jesus met a woman by the well, and when she realized he was a prophet, she discovered this was a chance to get her difficult Bible questions answered. And she said, the Jews worship in Jerusalem. For the Jews to worship, and that also tells you the definition of worship, because she must not have been referring to singing, because Jews sang everywhere. So when he said Jews worship in Jerusalem, she's talking about the temple sacrifice. You see what I'm saying? The Jews worship in Jerusalem, but we worship on this mountain. Where is the place to worship? And this is the Bible verse. He said, you worship, you know not what. And this is exactly what I'm saying. You can be sincere and be wrong. The Samaritans had worshipped on that mountain for 400 years, and it was 400 years of error. And they did it religiously and judiciously. And this is why light is important. And that's why I started with the definition of worship. But Jesus said that this is where I'm going. He says the hour is coming and now is, where you shall either on this mountain or in Jerusalem worship. He says the worshippers, the true worshippers, shall worship the Father in truth and in spirit. For the Father seeketh such. Now let me quickly explain what that means. They were carried away with the religious activity, the slaughtering of the lambs. True worship is not sincere worship, even though worship must be sincere. True worship is recognizing that that lamb in the Old Testament is Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when you understand that the lamb in the Old Testament is Christ, you will know it's no longer about the mountain or about the Jerusalem temple. All of that were symbols. You must see Christ, and this is how ignorant we can be. The object of worship, the true Lamb of God, is standing with you by that well, and you're asking, where do I worship? Where do I worship? The eyes of revelation should have told that this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so this is what I'm saying to you. Don't be like that woman in a worship meeting but missing the points. The point, first and foremost, the protocol of worship is salvation. To look at the Son, not at the practice, not at the music, not at the religious calisthenics, but faith in his Son. The true worship is believing in Jesus, receiving his life. That's where it all begins. If you're here and you're not born again, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to give you an offer of a lifetime. You can't run away for too long. Jesus is a relentless lover. Some of you were not planning to be here. Somehow you found yourself here, and he brought you here to hear this word. Listen, he's going to knock down all your defenses. You've been running away from church, running away from church people and all of that. Maybe you even have legitimate reasons, church hurt or bad Christian examples. He's coming anyway. And listen, he has captured you today. You have nowhere to run. Hallelujah. This lover is going to capture your heart like he did mine. Like he did the hearts of many sincere people here. He has captured your heart. Nowhere to run. And no need to run. This is the best thing that can ever happen to you. Receive Jesus tonight. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He says, if anyone opens the door of his heart, he will come in and sup with you. Invite Jesus to dinner tonight. He's welcoming you. He's inviting you to dinner in your own heart. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And like I said, the second protocol is obedience. It's nice that you're singing the songs. But you see, the person you are singing to is a spirit. The person by your side may not be able to tell your real motive and intention, but not Jesus. You can bet and say, these people draw nigh to me with their lips, but your hearts are far away. And if that's your case, that's not worship. There must be an alignment. And so as you worship, and I'm going to talk about this as I round up, as you worship, you must be ready to do what he says. It's not worship if you're not ready to be obedient. It's not worship. See, you see, I'm going to round off with this. What happens when we worship? In Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them. So you see, in an evening like this, as we sing and as we minister to the Lord, get ready for instructions of consecration. Some of you, the Lord might tell you, separate yourself. You see, I've already talked about salvation. There is a separation and salvation. There is also a separation and discipleship. Listen, where God says, come out from among them, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. Come out. Maybe you have forgotten who you are. You are the light of the world. Maybe you have not been living in a manner that is consistent with the dictates of the kingdom of life. This is a reminder to you. Separate yourself. You who bear the vessels of the Lord, separate yourself. So now, the Lord is going to nudge some hearts. Get back to prayer. I know amongst church people, they don't know. You wear your Sunday best and you look all right, but you are not all right. Your prayer life is not where it ought to be. Your study life, maybe you don't even know where your Bible is. The Lord is asking you, come out from amongst them. If you live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. All right? Come out from amongst them. And finally, some of you have a call from God. You've left dormant. In meetings like this, God says, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I've called them. Don't be surprised that as you sing, you will feel something. It happens in different ways. For some people, it's like a dew. For some people, it's like a fire. But you leave this place with a firm conviction to obey that mandate you have been running away from. And you will know, you might have been scared before, the fear will dissipate. Listen, boldness is not, it doesn't just happen in the kingdom by looking at a mirror and doing self-talk. Boldness is a spirit. The Bible says, as they prayed, the place where they were shook, and they were filled with the Spirit and with boldness. I'm telling you, there will be an impartation this evening to obey God. Did you hear what I said? There will be an impartation this evening to obey God. And also, the final thing I want to talk about here is this. What happens when we worship? Supernatural intervention happens when we worship. Paul and Silas, they sang, and their singing was not a secret. The Bible says the prisoners heard them, and all of a sudden, something happened in that prison. Hallelujah. Come on, how many of you believe something powerful can happen tonight? I'm telling you, something powerful can happen tonight. Listen, as I was walking in, this is a place of the Spirit, so get ready for this. This is going to shock you, but I heard from the Lord. There's a lady to my left, you have a lump in your body. The Lord is asking me to tell you that He's removing that lump from your body. He's removing that lump from your body. This is not a church meeting, and I don't want to put you on the spot. But this is the word of the Lord to you. I've seen this happen so many times, maybe 100 times or more. You will come back with your testimony. And listen, I don't want you to keep this a secret. According to the word of the Lord, it's going to happen. And I want you to share your testimony. You share your testimony. Hallelujah. You see, and that's what's going to happen. Supernatural intervention. The Lord gave me a word coming here. The word of the Lord to the Israelites was this. He says, I will do in a work in Israel that will cause the ears of them that hear to tingle. You know, and a lot of people think that message means, wow, it is going to be so awesome. I'll be like, wow, Lord, you know. Yeah, that will happen too. But we are talking about the judgment of the Lord. Listen, the tingling of the ear doesn't happen when you hear something nice. It happens when someone slaps you in the ear. You know that ringing? That's what God was talking about. So the Lord, this is the word of the Lord. He said, by the outstretched hand of God, long-standing family wickedness will end. Oh my God. Listen, I am speaking as a prophet of the Lord. I said, by the outstretched hand of God, long-standing family wickedness will end. In the mighty name of Jesus.